Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with American Muslim Community Foundation. And today on the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast, we have with us Dilnaz Warich, and she's joining us on behalf of the Community Collaborative Initiative. And she's going to be talking to us more about a program they're offering in 2021 called A Year of Learning. Dilnaz is no stranger to our podcast, as she was the Outstanding Philanthropist Award winner, and also has been involved with a lot of community projects across the country. Welcome to the show, Dilnaz.
Thanks so much, Muhi. I'm excited to be here my second time and just love to see the work that you've been doing over the past year.
Of course. So why don't we share a little bit more on the Community Collaborative Initiative, and feel free to give some background more on yourself for those who are listening for the first time.
Sure. So, like you had mentioned, Muhi, we're part of the Community Collaboration Initiative. So in 2018, I was speaking to just different Muslim-led nonprofits, really understanding, number one, how diverse is their board? Number two, understanding like transparency. How often do they connect with their donors? How often are they really having meaningful conversation about what's happening on their board, what's happening with their institution? And number three, what I was doing with the Muslim-led nonprofits was I was asking them questions about how do you collaborate and who do you collaborate with? And, you know, what are other Muslim nonprofits that you collaborate with, as well as non-Muslim-led nonprofits that you collaborate with? And I was really quite surprised to find out that a lot of our Muslim-led nonprofits work really well and are very mission driven, but they don't really have the time and the capacity to just have conversations with other executive directors and other staff members in a lot of the work that they're doing. So that's how the Community Collaboration Initiative started, is really making sure 25 Muslim-led nonprofits bring in one board member, one staff member for a three-year research-based initiative. So 2020 was our first year, and that was collaboration through trust building. So that one year we brought together 25 Muslim-led nonprofits, and every month we talked about how to build trust, how to move from the scarcity mindset to the abundance mindset. What challenges do we have? And you know, it's not an easy thing to do, is building trust amongst 25 Muslim-led nonprofits. Collaboration is a messy thing to do.
Sure.
So right now we're in our second year, and our second year is focused on collaboration through programming. So the 25 Muslim-led nonprofits in their sector are going to decide what they really want to build for this year. What type of programming do they want to do? And the third year, which will be 2022, it's going to be about collaboration through sustainability. And that means just really opening it up to the foundation world, opening up to the grant world. How can we get more funding for our Muslim-led nonprofits?
I think that's really critical and impressive in terms of the scope and thinking through like a three-year process to get there. You know, a lot of organizations are starting to get more funding and diversify their funding as they've had to be more strategic about raising money through a pandemic and just kind of moving forward. And I think that trust building and collaboration will go a long way in helping them create stronger applications for foundations in the future as well.
You're actually spot on, Muhi. So a lot of the buzzword right now is collaboration, and everyone talks about collaboration in the foundation world and the nonprofit world. But to do it well, we realized that 3 years is the right number. So 1 year is just too short. You really can't build that empathy, the knowledge, the trust between nonprofits. 5 years is way too long. So 3 years is really the sweet spot. But we did not think COVID was going to hit. We really thought, oh, you know, every 4 or 5 months, we'll get together and we'll physically build community. We'll physically get together. But because of COVID, we've actually physically not been together at all. And we've been doing, you know, the Zoom calls every single month. And we have been able to build community because it's really, this is our calling. This is our mission. This is what we're driven to do. So our executive directors, our staff members, we're getting together physically. I'm not physically, but virtually.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, I think being able to have peers and community organizations across sectors and cross collaborating, just people to learn through this time in our lives together in terms of having partners across the aisle and people that you can reach out to say, hey, this is what we tried. What are you guys doing? That's so key. And I think one of the great benefits of having collaboration is being able to learn from others that are doing similar things to you and how you can achieve your missions and goals together. So kudos to the CCI to really think of this initiative and how it can further benefit Muslim-led institutions, because, you know, it's not necessarily that there's a lack of resources. I think it's more so that there's been a lack of planning on organizations' part, but then also even from the families and donors' part in terms of how they want to see their giving make a difference. A lot of people just give to give and not necessarily give with an impact. And I think that this initiative can help on both ends of that aisle.
So I think about Muslim philanthropy, right? So I remember when I was younger, I always thought about the word philanthropist and I thought, oh, that's like a rich white man. I literally thought a philanthropist was a rich white man. And now I think it's really important that we reclaim that word, because as Muslims, we give our zakat allocations, we give sadaqah.
Right.
And so we need to reclaim that word and realize that Muslims have been philanthropists ever since, you know, during Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him's time. And then after his death, how Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and how Umar radiyallahu anhu really institutionalized the importance of giving zakat and how important it is to give in certain areas and how to give it respectfully and how to make sure that our voices are heard. And it's sometimes you have that hadith about, you know, giving with the right hand so the left hand doesn't know.
Sure.
And it's really your intentions. It's your intentions of how you're giving and why you're giving and how you're driving for change. So some people really don't want to get heavily invested with the organization, whereas others really want us to see small nuanced change occur and they want to have regular reporting. So it depends on your intentions. It depends on what type of drive you're looking for and the change you're looking for. But with Community Collaboration Initiative, it's really driven through a form of transparency. So there's a transparency between the facilitators that we have, our PI, which is Dr. Shark Siddiqui from Indiana University Lilly School of Philanthropy, from our project manager, which is Ruhi Yunus, and all of our neutral facilitators listening and doing this work for passion.
That's really impressive. And I think you hit it head on in terms of, you know, philanthropy, at least in the United States and definitely mainstream philanthropy in terms of foundations giving money. You know, AMCF is committed to hopefully decolonizing philanthropy, demystifying philanthropy, and democratizing philanthropy. I think those are three key areas in which we hope to make and help families make that transition to see the benefit of, you know, donor advised funds, of giving circles, of ways in which that they can collaborate in their giving to help other causes as well.
So, Muhi, in our third year of CCI, it's collaboration through sustainability. Mm-hmm. So our first year was collaboration through trust building. And throughout that first year, while the conversations were being had between Dr. Shark Siddiqui, our facilitators, and our Muslim-led nonprofits, I was actually speaking to quite a few foundation CEOs, presidents. I was speaking to smaller foundations, community foundations. I was really learning a lot from these peers. It was like a lot of peer-to-peer learning. And what I found out is three things. Number one, foundations and community foundations, they want to give to Muslim-led nonprofits. They're just not sure how much to give and what are they doing, the Muslim-led nonprofits. So there's a lot of misinformation there. Number two, I found out there's a portfolio about racial equity, about giving, being inclusive. But a lot of time, Muslim-led nonprofits are not part of that portfolio. And if they're not part of it, I wonder why they're not part of it. And the third thing I found out is we really don't have Muslims making these influential decisions. We don't have Muslims in the decision-making spaces. So when I was speaking to the presidents and CEOs and a lot of these people having these conversations to do grant making, we're not there. The correct information's not there. And those decisions aren't being led for the Muslim nonprofit. So how do we change that? And that's how I wanted to really share with you, Muhi, today about the Year of Learning, the Learning Launch, which is starting on February 18th. So our first event is going to be February 18th. And I know you've got the whole website going there. So we'd love for you to click on and register. The event is February 18th from 12 p.m. Central Standard Time to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And what we're trying to do in that first event, and it's the first event of four that are going to occur in 2021, is number one, we're really creating an awareness. We're creating an awareness about the Muslim American community. Number two, we're doing education about the nuances and the diversity about the Muslim American communities. And the third thing we're trying to do is we're really taking action towards the foundation to build a deeper relation with the Muslim-led nonprofits. So it's about action, awareness, and making sure that we are taking action to have leaders and influencers in these foundations that are going to be making these decisions.
I think it's hypercritical for the Muslim community to be involved. And like you said, you know, we need people from our community or at least allies to the Muslim community to be in positions as program officers and vice presidents of impact and all the way up to CEOs and presidents at foundations so that, you know, we could have more Muslims on boards of foundations and in the decision-making process of their strategic planning so that when they do have initiatives like racial equity, social justice, you know, interfaith or human rights or so many causes that intersect to the Muslim community, that Muslim-led institutions are also part of the process as well. So, you know, February 18th is the first of a few conversations. You're hoping to do this quarterly, as I understand?
You know, we are hoping to do this quarterly. We have a total of five conveners. We were very fortunate to have these conveners really from the get-go. And our conveners are number one, Hilish Patel from the Field Foundation. So it's amazing to have Field Foundation really be a galvanizer for the Year of Learning. Our second conveners are Rima Kamran and Dr. Dilara Saeed from the Illinois Muslim Civic Coalition. They've been a driving force straight from the beginning. And our third conveners are Ruhi Yunus and myself. So what we're doing from Indiana University Lilly School of Philanthropy, along with the Raich Family Fund, is we're bringing these five conveners together. So we were really the ones that were thinking, how do we get the foundation world to understand about the Muslim American communities? How do we make sure that funding is there for these missions that are creating a better America, that are really open to the entire American community? And why aren't we getting these fundings? So what we also did is speak to the indigenous community. So Megan Bang from Spencer Foundation, she's the vice president of the Spencer Foundation. So we spoke to her quite a few months ago while we were having these very impactful conversations between the conveners. And Megan did an amazing event in 2019. She brought together 500 indigenous, she brought together 500 philanthropic individuals to learn about the Native American community. Again, it was education, awareness, and how to take these action steps. And through Megan's experience, that's how the Year of Learning came about. And that's how we decided the first event is going to be called the Learning Launch, because we're launching into this learning. And then after that, we'll have subsequent events, probably quarterly, and bringing back the foundation partners, bringing back our interreligious friends, bringing back our allies to continue these conversations, because it can't be a one-off. And it can't just be, you know, I need something right now. It's more about a relationship building, because we realize that first conversation is important, but really nothing gets done during the first conversation. But how does the second and third and fourth conversation really build that nuanced relationship and the conversation that leads to better second and third conversations?
Yeah, and I think your example of learning from the indigenous community just showcases the importance of allyship and how the Muslim community can learn from other communities. And obviously, you know, when it comes to the civil rights movement, there's so much that the Muslim community has to appreciate and respect from the Black community in the United States that, you know, has allowed for so many more minority communities to benefit from the civil rights era. And I think similarly with the indigenous community, it's great to see that the inspiration of this event came from there, because there's, again, so much that we can learn from. And similarly to what you were saying about, you know, funding and all that relationship building, you know, even if there are community foundations that are funding Muslim-led institutions, maybe in their first or second year, it's not in equity or comparable to organizations outside of the Muslim community that are receiving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, when Muslim communities may be earning, you know, $10,000, let's say. So I think there definitely is some progress that needs to be made. And I think that the Year of Learning is a really good opportunity for mainstream philanthropy to get a better chance to learn about the Muslim community. And I'm really grateful for your leadership in this, because this is also something that AMCF is committed to and passionate about. And we're really glad to be part of this initiative as well.
So, Muhi, I totally agree. We cannot have done this without AMCF and the planning that has gone into all these subcommittees. You've been part of all of our planning meetings. But one thing we realized is organizations like Al-Hibri and Pillars Fund and Proteus really did the trailblazing work. They were there, and then we were fortunate to
Definitely.
Do this work now with a lot more ease, because they were able to start doing this work 15, 20 years ago. But we were also in our planning committee, so fortunate to have a really diverse group of leaders. So we've got Woods Fund, we have a Chicago Community Trust, we have the Institute of Policy and Civic Engagement from Illinois University. So Illinois University has an entire sect called the Institute for Policy and Civic Engagement, and we have Norma Ramos, who is our program manager for this entire Year of Learning. So we're so fortunate to have Illinois University be part of this as well. But we're also fortunate to have Interfaith Youth Corps. We have Field Foundation, like we had mentioned. We have Bank of America. We have Doris Duke Charitable Foundation. So we have a total of about 40 individuals have been there with us in three planning meetings, making sure that our first event that happens on February 18th isn't just happening in a silo, but it's like we're all getting together as we build this beloved community. We just had, you know, Martin Luther King Day. And how do we build this beloved community together? How do we make sure that we're inclusive, that we have voices from diverse areas, and everyone feels like this is their community and they can be part of this building? So your leadership, Muhi, has been inspirational, and you've been able to really connect a lot of the pieces, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're happy to be part of it, just kind of continuing the work that's been done, as you said, for the last few decades, and just really trying to make sure that, you know, the voices and the work in the Muslim community are being represented and highlighted in a meaningful way. We'd love to have Monica and Halish and other people from the Year of Learning conveners on the podcast, so that they can share their backgrounds and, you know, kind of how they got to their points in their careers and things that they've learned about and why they're so passionate about the Year of Learning as well. You know, in terms of, you know, people can find out more at yearoflearning.uic.edu. You can register, you can see all the sponsors and partners on this great initiative. What are you hoping, you know, as the year continues after February 18th and beyond, what are you hoping some of those actionable items and introductions kind of blossom into?
Great question. So February 18th is more of a larger convening. We have all these small breakout rooms about the arts, about the social sector, about foundation world. And then we're also going to have intimate conversations between certain leaders. And we also have roundtable conversations. So because we physically can't get together and we can't have that, you know, coffee break and intimate conversation in the corner over there, we're trying to like virtually build these intimate conversations. So this February 18th is, you get to choose which breakout room you want, which speaker you're going to be able to attend. But we're also developing moments in there where we have roundtable discussions for 15 minutes. So we're trying to make it as intimate and as virtually inclusive as possible. But we realize that this is a first conversation, right? So our next conversation, what we really want to focus on is just like the government, what is the government doing for funding, and focus a little bit more on the government and do more intimate conversations by bringing in individuals from the government, and then making sure that we do corporate sponsorship. Muslim-led nonprofits really are limited in the corporate sponsorships that they've been able to get. And how do we make sure the corporate sponsorship is done well? What are the little nuanced information that we need to know to get those grants? We also think about entertainment and how important the culture and media is. How do we make sure that, you know, Muslim entertainers are getting out there and they're being heard and they're seeing the power of their voice? But it's constantly being not like a fishbowl where you're looking in and wondering, oh, I wonder what the Muslim community is up to. But it's like really a together conversation. We're having a conversation with our allies and our Muslim communities together. It's like side by side, we're developing this.
Really great. So, you know, in terms of anybody who's listening, like there's going to be opportunities for Muslim leaders or just general Muslim community. There's going to be opportunities for people in mainstream philanthropy. There's going to be opportunity for nonprofit leaders to engage with these foundations as well. So really, in terms of the target audience, we really want it to be as wide as possible. And if you're interested in any of those aspects of mainstream philanthropy, Muslim nonprofit organizations, or just simply learning more about engaging foundations in your work, I think this is a really great opportunity for that first step and learning more. What else would you like to share about either UIC or the Year of Learning or CCI?
So I think about, we're about 3 weeks away till the Year of Learning, the learning launch occurs, which is on February 18th at 12 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please do register in advance. If you register before February 10th, you get a $25 gift card for lunch, and then you could have lunch with us as well. So try and make sure you register before February 10th. But the other thing is, try and make sure you reach out to your social capital. Make sure you reach out to individuals that you think this is a really important conversation for our allies to learn about. It's a really important conversation for our Muslim leaders to also feel a sense of power and what their power means and how we're reclaiming our narrative. We don't need someone else to tell the Muslim American story about how we've been here for 400 years, how 30% of the African-American community actually is the Muslim community, the journey that we've had from enslaved individuals to Nation of Islam to Islam. What does that journey look like? These are conversations that are really not well told. And how do we make sure we tell these stories? The stories about equity in the Palestinian community and what's happening with CVE and what's happening, you know, just in the world that's so polarized right now. These are actually human stories as well. How do we tell our human story so we see each other not as the far right or the far left or, you know, one sect versus another religion, but we see each other as human. So I think February 18th, you're going to hear a lot of human stories, and you're going to hear a lot of stories that you're just going to want to learn about and continue to learn about. So this will just be like a introduction to a longer journey together.
That's great. And then will there be some of the learnings that you've had from CCI integrated into this, just kind of as a report out for people interested in seeing the progress of CCI as well?
So we are not spending time to do that, but in our breakout rooms, we do have quite a few of our CCI organizations part of it. So while they're in their breakout room, they can definitely talk about how messy collaborations are and how important collaborations need to be done. And they're only done with a lot of intentionality. No one does a three-year research-based initiative without putting a lot of deep emphasis and outcomes that we want to see and making sure that research is being there. And then also what's going to happen at the end of the 3 years, right? That's so important. Once you've done the three-year research, who's going to be reading the report, and how are we going to do, you know, small white paper reports so all the foundation partners can have it on their desk, all the
right.
program officers can read about this. So there's really a strategy for once it's done as well. So after the first year, on December 6th, we did have a convening, and we were able to bring together about 140 individuals to learn about the 1 year of CCI.
Mm-hmm.
Then our second year in December, we'll also do a report out as well. And then the third year, we'll definitely do a report out. But when the entire 3 years is done and the research paper is done, that's going to be really just fascinating, the unrolling, and how are we going to do the unrolling, and what universities can we really present this information to? Because it's an important piece of information that has not been done before, and how do we make sure that others are learning from the what we've been able to put together as well? Because our Muslim-led nonprofits range from 100,000 to around 10 million. So we really chose organizations that were newer, as well as organizations that were really well established.
In terms of their budget size.
In terms of budget size.
And then, you know, the reason why I ask is because I think, you know, as we're convening all of these leaders in philanthropy together, I know that the learnings from CCI are part of what I want to share in our outreach to community foundations when we apply in grants, because it'll just showcase the in-depth ability for organizations that are Muslim-led institutions to achieve their goal. And the more research we can have around that, the more we can make our pitch and story to the foundations that we're applying to as well. So I think it's really relevant. I think it's really great what CCI and both A Year of Learning are trying to do. And I really appreciate you spending some time with us to share a little bit more. And looking forward to the 18th and all of the subsequent events that are going to be held.
Thank you, Muhi. Honored to be here.
Likewise. All right.